You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our Head of International Economics. Joe, good to have you on.
Great to be back.
Now, we've got another change of pace for our third podcast of 2021. We're going to introduce a new concept called the circular economy. Now, this fits in with a trend in, I guess, the investment and finance landscape where investors are considering the environmental, social and governance factors more when making their investment decisions. And I think on the back of that, and probably in conjunction with, we've seen economists now encouraged by the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. There's more of a focus by governments, businesses and even individuals on sustainable economic growth. So that's where we're now talking about some concepts around sustainable economic growth. Before we do that, we probably need to rewind and start to think about what an old economic model is. And that's where we are going to talk about what the linear economy is before we start to talk about the circular economy. So with that very long-winded introduction, Joe, what is the so-called linear economy?
Well, the difference between a linear and a circular economy is really boils down to how you treat natural resources such as fossil fuels, metals, plants and animals. So linear economies really move from left to right. So you have, you take materials from the ground, you make them into manufactured products, and then when you finish with them, you waste those materials by putting them in a landfill. So it's sort of moving in a line from left to right.
Now, a linear economy goes hand in hand, I guess, with world economic growth is really correlated to the use of materials.
Yes, so very strongly.
When we think about that, what economy has the largest material footprint?
It's China. I guess we shouldn't be too surprised there. China, after all, accounts for 20% of the world's population. However, they consume 40% of the world's materials. Now, that seems very high, given their income levels. But when you look at the structure of the Chinese economy, it is growing very rapidly, and their incomes are growing fast, and they have very large manufacturing and construction materials. And of course, manufacturing and construction use a lot of metals, minerals, and of course, fossil fuels.
Now, one issue with the linear economy, and I'm going to use the term here economists love, is it comes with a lot of externalities.
Yes.
So some of those externalities are in fossil fuel use and carbon dioxide. So that's one reason why we've started to see focus on a more sustainable economy through the circular economy. So what is the new model and how does it differ?
So a circular economy has a lot of elements of the linear economy. So you're still going from left to right, take, make and waste. But in addition to that, you have what we call the four R's. So that's reduce the use of materials, reuse materials, recycle materials, and recover materials. And those four elements are about keeping the materials in the economy for longer rather than just move them from left to right to landfill.
Now, you've got a nice little example to explain to all our listeners what a circular economy is and how may it differ to a linear economy. You're going to use a milk bottle, is that right?
A plastic milk bottle, to be exact. So, well, first of all, you can reduce your use
of milk.
So, for example, you could instead of using cow's milk, which comes with a lot of methane, which is a greenhouse gas, you could use almond milk, which is much less greenhouse gas intensive. So that's reducing. Reusing, you could reuse the milk bottles to give them a second life. I've in the past used them as a pot plant to start my seedlings, for example. On a commercial scale, for example, some grocers allow customers to bring in their own bottles to fill up milk. So that's one way where you can keep reusing milk containers. You can also recycle the milk bottles to make new plastic products. So there's quite a lot of recycling going on in advanced economies, reusing plastic. And finally, you can recover the energy in the milk bottle by burning those plastic milk bottles to produce heat and steam to make electricity. Now, obviously, that is certainly not ideal. The ideal angle here is to reduce, followed by the next best, which is reuse, then recycle, then recover.
Now, when you look at, I guess, the economies out there in the world at the moment, are there any economies that are more circular than others? Are there any leading the charge? And also then, what are some indicators we can use to measure circularity?
Yeah, they're really good questions there, because we can then learn from some of the leaders. So look, according to a consulting firm called Circle Economy, they believe that the Netherlands is the most circular economy in the world, at least amongst the advanced economies. And their so-called circularity rate is 25%. So this is on a scale of 0%, no circularity, to 100% total circularity. So the Netherlands is 25%, and that is much, much higher than the global average of 8%. So the Netherlands is, let's call it, three times more circular than the world economy. But 25% is a long way from 100%. So even the Netherlands has a long way to go. And the Netherlands government has very ambitious goals of making their economy 50% circular by 2030, so in only 10 years' time, and 100% circular by 2050. So they're very ambitious.
Now, it seems like the move to a more circular economy, or at least a more sustainable economic growth model, is becoming much more in focus. I think the new president in the US, Joe Biden, is obviously very focused on climate change and what he can be doing there. How do we transition from a linear to a circular economy?
So a circular economy is really based on a few principles, and that is, first of all, designing out waste and pollution. So if you're going to use electricity to make products, then using cleaner electricity is a good way. Another element is keeping products and materials in use for longer. So things like home share or ride share, car share, those sorts of growing industries are keeping homes and cars being used by more people, therefore you don't need as many cars and homes in use. And a third element is regenerating natural systems. So for environments that have been polluted or damaged in some way, then regenerating those environments is also another way to embed the circular economy.
Is there anything that can be done by, say, businesses or governments to speed up that process? So if there was a real big push out there, how would you go about doing that? And I guess then if we start to think about what industries could be most impacted as a result.
So there's probably a few elements that really stick out. One is how we produce energy will have to become cleaner. And if you can do that, then you're actually making a big dent in the problem. But that's not going to be quick. You can't just throw out your electricity stock today and replace it with a new bunch of electricity generation tomorrow. And just to give you an idea here, the United States transport and utilities capital stock, so all the buildings and structures, machines that they have, in the transport and utilities industries is almost $7 trillion. So if you're going to refurbish that stock, you're talking about a lot of money and, of course, a lot of time to refurbish that stock. Now, I'm not saying you literally got to throw away the whole lot. Obviously, you can. Some of this stock can be retrofitted, but it is going to take a very, very long period of time, measured in, well, probably decades, or let alone years or months. So we do have a very large task ahead of us to move from the linear to a circular economy, but it can be done. I think there's really three main players here. The first one, of course, is, as you've already mentioned, is government. They can introduce and enforce rules and targets to discourage extraction of materials and to encourage the four R's of reuse, recover, etc. And then there's also research, which is designing new products and processes. So you spread the four R's through all industries. And thirdly, and this is closer to home for us, Belinda, is investors. So about financing new business models to put the four R's into action. And I think if those three elements, governments, research and investors, can move together in the same direction at the same pace, then I think we've got a very good chance of moving from linear to circular economies.
It's obviously a very important trend to keep an eye on because it is, I guess, all-encompassing in terms of what we do in terms of monitoring both economic growth and also the investment landscape. Joe, appreciate your insights today.
Thank you.
Now, you can read Joseph Caperso's report called Introducing the Circular Economy, which was published on the 28th of January 2021 on combankresearch.com.au.